and realized it was the Holy Spirit that had been knocking on the door of my heart, understanding that the Holy Spirit is Jesus himself witnessing to my spirit, I've loved him. I've loved him. And I still love him. This year, 30 years since I've become a believer. I want to talk to you tonight about why I speak in tongues. And I don't want to shy away from this topic as we speak about the Holy Spirit, because it seems to me that this is an area that sometimes, you know, it's sort of aspects about the Holy Spirit that we accept, but then there's other things that we go, oh, you know, I haven't experienced that yet, and I don't know what that is, and that seems weird. And I just want to, I guess in some respects, demystify some of that, and I just want us to be able to receive what God wants to give. That's my heart. Of course, this conference opened with Pastor Jack on Friday night talking to us about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you need to hear what I'm going to say tonight with those words still resonating in your spirit, because Pastor Jack was talking about that really there is an anointing of God. It's sort of like a smear of God. There is the Holy Spirit. He comes and he anoints and he blesses. And really the anointing, he said, was the possession of every believer. You know, it's untrue to say, well, I'm a Christian without the Holy Spirit, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not, it doesn't make sense. You might be a Christian and not yet spoken in tongues. They're two different things. But it's the Holy Spirit. You need his anointing. You need his anointing. Pastor Jack talked about the anointing firmly positions you on God's side. That anointing that comes, you know that God is with you. And you need to know that he's on your side. The anointing empowers ordinary people. You know, we need to understand that, yes, in the Old Testament, before the cross of Christ, before Jesus' ministry, his cross, his death, his resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts as it's recorded, yes, the Holy Spirit came on particular people at particular times. That's not true post-Acts. It's not true post the early church. The Holy Spirit is available to every believer, and we need to understand that and receive that. And Pastor Jack the other day was talking about, well, you know, sometimes we can look at someone else's anointing. Oh, I wish I had their anointing. And it's like, hang on a minute. We just got to understand we've all got an anointing. Amen? He also spoke about that the anointing of the Holy Spirit really is a lifestyle. That I need to live every day knowing I've got the anointing of God. Now, that's not an arrogant thing. That's a humbling thing. That God is with me. That God is mindful of me. That God watches over me. He protects me. He leads me. He enables me. We need to live that anointing as a lifestyle. But Pastor Jack also, he concluded his message the other day, and we've podcasted it this afternoon so you could listen. But the anointing is always for a kingdom purpose. So it's not about selfishness. It's, oh, I'm so anointed. You know, it's always about the cause of Christ. It's always about furthering the kingdom of God. So, you know, if you have an anointing in prayer, if you have an anointing in administration, if you have an anointing in giving, if you have an anointing in faith, if you have an anointing in healing, those things, they're for the kingdom of God. They're for the kingdom purposes. And of course, at the Holy Spirit conference Saturday morning, we had this real deep conviction as we, Pastor Melissa, Pastor Carol, Pastor Jack and I, we had breakfast and we're praying and talking together. We just had this real sense we needed to pray. And we did. If you were there, we did. And we just prayed for individuals and family groups who were gathered, just asking for God's anointing, asking for God's blessing. Last night, Pastor Carol spoke about the living water of the Holy Spirit. She spoke about the living water. And really, how the Holy Spirit wants to flood. He wants to flood your life and my life. You know, I was talking to Melissa this afternoon, and I was thinking about, really, if we were to sum up, if I was to think of, well, what's a key word that God has spoken over these days? What is a key that God would speak into your heart and to my heart? It is that we become stronger by becoming closer to the Holy Spirit. He's close, but we need to be aware of his presence and want him more and more and more. You're going to grow stronger as you grow closer to the Holy Spirit. You're going to grow stronger as you grow closer. Stronger, stronger. This is the word that God has spoken. This is the word that inspired our youth to write that song earlier that we've been singing. There's a word that God is speaking, and it's a word in season over your life and over my life. Well, I say all of that to introduce this idea of why I speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-4 says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. The New Living Translation, which David hasn't got there on the screen, but I'm going old school, says this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Paul, he goes on to say, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather you prophesy. I want every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather you prophesy. I wonder, as you were hearing those two translations or reading them, whether you notice the word edify. Edify. Tongues edifies yourself. Prophecy edifies the church. What is the church? The gathered believers. Edifies. Edifies. The Greek word for edifies, oikodemeo. Oikodemeo. It means this: to be a house builder, to edify, to be a house builder, to construct, confirm, to build up, to embolden. Another dictionary puts it this way, a dictionary definition puts it this way: to build a house, to erect a building, to build up from a foundation. Metaphorically, it means to find, to establish, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. To grow in wisdom and piety. Jesus said this of Matthew. I say to you, Matthew 16, 18. He said this to Peter. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That word build is the Greek word that's for the same word edify. I'll edify my church. I will build my church. Build, the same word. Jesus said, he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Do you realize that speaking in tongues is one of the ways he does that? There's an edification. There is a building that takes place. In Jude 1, 20 to 21, it says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up," edifying, that same word, "but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We build ourselves up. We edify. We build ourselves up. And we keep ourselves in the love of God as the gift of tongues is exercised. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up." It's the same word, edified up. "A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Friends, I need to say to you that I believe speaking in tongues is a major way we are built up into a spiritual house. God wants to build you up, to build you up. He wants prophecy. I hear Paul say, "I wish all of you could speak in tongues. I'd prefer you to prophesy." But he still says, "I want all of you to speak." But when I'm praying, when I'm speaking in tongues, there is a building work that is done. There's an edification work. Now, I need to say to you that in my own life, and sometimes it's good to hear a testimony from someone on this, I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and I did not immediately begin to speak in tongues. I know the Holy Spirit was with me. I think I've shared, may have shared this before, you may have heard this, but I remember the night I was baptized. I got saved on the 14th of December, and then I got baptized on the 31st of December, New Year's Eve. So I got saved at a church service. There'd been a whole history to that, which I won't go into. And then I was being water baptized. And I remember they baptized me. And then as I came out of the water, the church believed the only sign of the Holy Spirit, the only sign, was speaking in tongues. And so they prayed that I would receive tongues. And they prayed, and they prayed. And, you know, just try and say what we're saying. And it was like, I'm trying. And it was all Greek to me. It just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. Didn't happen. I don't know whether you can identify with that. But for me, it just didn't happen. I remember in the crowd, it was sort of like, gee, did I just do something wrong? You know, this is my baptism. And I remember going inside the house, and it's a bit embarrassing. You don't really want this image in your mind, but I'm pulling down my togs. And the glory of God filled the room. I didn't know what it was at the time. I can only say that now. But it's like this warmth came into the room. And the periphery of my vision went golden and I fell on the floor. Praise God, nobody came in. And I don't know how long I was there. Nobody checked on me, praise God. But I remember just this incredible experience of the love of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God being thick in the room. And I don't know how long I laid there, but I laid there and I remember getting up, getting dressed, and I walked into the lounge room of this place and I preached. And I preached on how the minor and major prophets all pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had never read the Old Testament and I was quoting chapter and verse of the Old Testament. Do I believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Do I believe in the enabling of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Was my initial gift of tongues English? I don't know. But it was just like, my goodness, there was just this experience in God. Many years later, I still not got the gift of tongues. Many years later, I'm on my second missionary journey through Papua New Guinea. And I'm in the Southern Highlands of Papua New Guinea with a great man of God, Reverend John Hutton, who had been the second white missionary ever to end up in the Southern Highlands of Papua New Guinea. Him and his wife, Barbara, served there for over 30 years, and there are hundreds of tribes that today know Jesus because of the Huttons sharing their faith. They walked into the Southern Highlands. We're talking mountains 10,000 feet high, and they walked in through rivers and all sorts of things. There were cannibals in those hills, and, you know, they faced all sorts of things. And I'm with the Reverend John Hutton. And, you know, he's an elderly man by this stage. He's revered. They retired back in Australia. But Reverend John, he had this desire to want to teach on the Holy Spirit, a little bit like this weekend. And he had this little Holy Spirit seminar, and it was about six lessons. And the final lesson was be filled with the Spirit. And we'd been visiting various places across the Southern Highlands of Papua New Guinea, and we'd been teaching this seminar. And my role, you know, was pretty much to be a catcher. So as people were being prayed for, and if they fell over, I was there to catch them. But we arrive in Mendi, where it happens to be the biggest town, and we're there, and Reverend John said to me, Craig, at this seminar, I want you to teach on be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going, oh, I don't think I can do that. And he said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, you've got my notes. Just follow my notes. And so I remember in Papua New Guinea, the prayer meetings were so loud. And so I followed his notes. In fact, a little bit, I feel like I'm doing it tonight, because in fact, Pastor Jack was going to preach this message on Saturday morning, and he never got there. And so I'm using his notes tonight. I feel a little bit like I'm back years ago with John Hutton's notes. And I'm teaching on how to be filled with the Spirit. But then I said to the believers gathered, and the room was hundreds and hundreds of people, and I said to everybody, now, I want us to pray, but can you be quiet? Can you just be quiet before the Lord? No, be still and know that I am God. You know, I'm quoting. You know, just be quiet and just let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. I was way out of my comfort zone with all these other seminars. And little could prepare me for what I was about to see. People, there was this holy quiet came over. And we're just all, that's all we're doing. And in the back corner of the room, all of a sudden, one lady started to pray. And another person started to pray. And another person started to pray. And another, and another, and another, and another. And it was almost like a wave went across the room as people started to speak in tongues. And I just simply remember I was holding on to the pulpit, and I remember just looking at everybody, and if I'm honest, it was like, oh, I want what they've got. I want that. And the next thing I remember was my hand throbbing. Because in actual fact, I'd just fallen over under the power of God's Spirit, taking the pulpit with me. And I just was lying there, my hand throbbing. But I just started to worship God. And all of a sudden, I realized I was speaking in another tongue. And I've continued to speak in tongues since that time. But it was years after I became a believer. And years after I had experienced, I'd already been seeing the Holy Spirit move. You know, so often I would pray for other people and they were experiencing all sorts of things in the Holy Spirit. But that particular gift I had not received. I want to share with you, and I acknowledge my pastor wrote these, but I looked at them this afternoon and I said, authentically, can I say what he would have said to you? And the answer is yes, because I think as I prayed it through, I went, I can agree with that. Yeah, I can agree with that. So Pastor Jack is speaking in one sense, but I'm speaking. 10 reasons why I speak in tongues. One, I'm speaking to God when I speak in tongues. Now, I can speak in English and I'm speaking to God. But hear what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks, or she, who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. There is this, when I'm speaking, when I'm praying, when I'm in the Holy Spirit, when I'm speaking in tongues, or singing in tongues. In fact, I probably more sing in tongues now than I do speak in tongues. There is this, my spirit communing with God's Spirit. I'm not only speaking to God, Father, and Son, I'm speaking to the Holy Spirit. Secret things of the Spirit. Number two, I edify myself. Now, I spoke to you about edification just before. I build myself up. Paul said it. We build ourselves up when we speak in tongues. It's sort of like, it's almost like what David would have said in Aramaic. We read it in English. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He's speaking, that's self-speak, almost. He's talking to God, but he's actually talking to himself. He's saying, come on, get yourself together. And there's something that happens when, if you're down, if you're weary, if you're struggling, and you can just begin to pray in the Spirit, oh my goodness, there is this edification that occurs. Number three, when I speak in tongues, my spirit prays. I've now disengaged my head. I don't know about you, but there are times in my devotional times of a morning where I can start to think about the shopping list. I can start to think about all the activities that are going to happen during the day. I can start to think about that conversation that I had with Melissa last night and how I'm really peeved with what she said, you know, or da-da-da. There's all sorts of things that can be in my devotional time. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, when I'm speaking in tongues, my spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14:14. But if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding's unfruitful. It's like I switch off my mind and I'm allowing my spirit to pray, not my mind to pray. You know, sometimes your mind and my mind is our worst enemy. It's our worst enemy. Now, I say that with a rider because I actually think God gave you a brain and he gave me a brain and we ought to test things, we ought to examine things, we ought to consider things, but you know what? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Faith is evidence of things unseen, the New King James Version says. And so often, we've got, too often in the West of the church, the Western world, unless I can see it, I don't believe it. And it's like, actually, there are times where, yes, you need to soberly examine doctrine, you need to examine, but there are times when I've got to switch my brain off. I've got to. And God's given us the ability through his Holy Spirit. Number four, when I speak in tongues, I'm speaking blessings. If you speak in tongues, and you ever wonder, what am I speaking? Unless you've been given an interpretation, which happens, you can sometimes wonder, what am I saying? Well, hear what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:16. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? If you bless with the Spirit, what's going on when you pray in the Spirit? You're blessing. You're blessing. I spoke to you a few years ago and I said, blessing. Every good thing that God has on his mind towards you coming to pass. That's what every time you say, God bless. God bless, it could be, see you later. But actually, it means every good thing that God would have on his mind towards you coming to pass. We can just shorten it. God bless. Bless, be blessed. I'm speaking blessings when I speak in tongues. Number five. I am giving thanks well. 1 Corinthians 14:17. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Right? It's sort of like, well, when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm giving thanks. I'm blessing and I'm giving thanks. I'm thanking God. Even though I'm not understanding with my human mind what it is that I'm saying. Six, I'm speaking the wonderful works of God. Acts 2:11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. This was what happened on the day of Pentecost. When, you know, we hear that rushing wind, we've spoken about that over these days, there was that rushing wind and then the tongues of fire rested on each one and they began to declare what? The wonders of God. The miraculous thing in that moment, in that time, not only were a heavenly language being spoken, but languages that were being understood. There have been many, many testimonies of people coming forward for ministry and having a minister pray over them, and all of a sudden they're hearing mother tongue. In fact, I've often got faith for that. Sarah would have to tell me, but did I just speak Swahili? You know, like there have been times where I've just had a faith to believe. I can remember, again, a Papua New Guinea story, but I can remember on whatever missionary journey it was there, speaking at a national youth convention there in Papua New Guinea, and the Holy Spirit, he poured himself out with such power. Normally when we had to preach, there needed to be six interpreters. So every line that was preached, every sentence or two, an interpreter would speak, and another interpreter would speak. Yes, Pidgin English is the trading language, but there was this need where we were for the mother tongue languages to be spoken. It was so funny if you told a joke. Part of the congregation laughed, then part of the congregation, it was really funny. Or part of the congregation went, what the? Like, you know, they didn't get that, you know. Well, we came to a point where God's Spirit so moved in the meetings, I knew I was not speaking English anymore. I was preaching, I think, in tongues. And everybody understood. And I understood them. When they spoke, I understood with my heart. When I spoke, they understood. We stopped the interpretation. We stopped it. And we just spoke. God, wonders of God, wonders of God. Seven, when I speak in tongues, I'm actually praying according to the will of God. Hear what Paul said in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? According to the will of God. Like you, on one level, you might think, I don't know what I'm praying when I speak in tongues. But actually, on a whole nother level, as the Bible teaches, God is showing us what we're saying. We're speaking blessings. We're speaking wonders of God. We're speaking the will of God. Oh my goodness. You know, this isn't some weird New Age thing. It's not some demonic thing. It's not. No, this is something available. God's gift. God's gift. Number 8, still with me? Yeah. It activates, speaking in tongues, actually activates the armor of God. You heard about the armor of God in Ephesians 6? Well, hear what Paul said there. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's like, what's happening as I'm praying in tongues, as I'm speaking in tongues, the armor of God is being activated. I don't know whether you've ever thought, you know, maybe you were thought, well, I've actually got to put the armor on. So the breastplate of righteousness, I've got to put it on. You know, the belt of truth, I've got to put it on, you know. I know I've got a friend of mine who most mornings, actually in his bedroom, before he gets dressed in real clothes, he gets dressed in the armor of God. And it's sort of like, mate, just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. There's the armor of God. Amen. 9. It's a surefire way to magnify God. Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify the Lord. Finally, number 10. It's rest and refreshing of the Spirit. Isaiah, way back in the Old Testament, said this in Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is refreshing, yet they would not hear. You know, there are times where the thing that God desperately wants for you is to rest, but when you're just so in your head, for some of us, we can't switch our thoughts. It seems like we can't switch our thoughts off, whizzing, whizzing, whizzing around. But one of the things the gift of tongues can do is cause a rest. It's cause a rest. A rest in your life and in my life. God wants us to be people at rest. Because from rest, you know, we do our greatest service, our greatest work. We do often our greatest worship. You know, if I come into worship stressed, I'm not giving God my greatest worship. But when I'm coming to worship from a place of rest, oh my goodness, I'm ready. I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to honor. Well, there's a secret key here. And the secret key is that this heavenly language that God gives is a place of rest and refreshing. Well, that's what God has called for it to be. That's what he's called for it to be. Maybe I'm adding. I said 10, but I thought of another. It's actually for today. It's for today. It's for today. It wasn't. It's like going, okay, well, those people spoke back, you know, in the book of Acts. Yep, that was 2,000 years ago. Yep, I get that. But you know, all that stopped. You know, some people teach that today. No. Gift of tongues are stopped. Gifts of healing are stopped. Miracles, wonders, signs, all that. No, 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 it's all stopped. No, it hasn't. The Holy Spirit, he's still moving. He's still blessing. He's still enabling. Peter said in Acts 2, 38 and 39, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and to all who are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, I get why my friends, where I got saved, went, well, this is the only sign. I get why some people could interpret it that way. I didn't at the time, and I've examined it a lot since. But God is the giver. God is the He wants to give good gifts to His children. That's what the Bible says. God's a giver, and He wants to give good gifts to His children. How do I receive the gift of tongues? That's really complicated. Really complicated. Mate, you got notes? You taking notes? Okay, I'm going to give you a really complicated answer. You ready? A-S-K. Ask. That's it. Ask. It's really complicated. It's really, really complicated. Ask. I began this message by quoting to you from the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. I eagerly desired this particular gift for years. Why did it take years for me to get the gift of tongues? I don't know. Being real honest. Paul said in Corinthians, now we know in part. Then we'll know, then when we get to heaven, we'll know fully, even as we're fully known. There's lots of things this side of heaven I don't know. And you will not know. You know, I don't know how many times over the years as a pastor I've had people say to me, in all sorts of circumstances, why? And the answer is, I don't know. Sometimes we get a prophetic word and it's sort of like, well, here's the answer. Actually, it's rare. That's a rare thing. Often, it's like there's no answer. Why? So, why did I begin tonight with speaking to you or reminding you about Pastor Jack's teaching on anointing? Because if you are a believer, you are anointed. I just want to declutter, de-stress this whole thing around tongues. You want to receive the gift of tongues? Well, eagerly desire the gift of tongues. Ask. Ask. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to ask Pastor Frank, I'm going to ask Pastor Chris, I'm going to ask Pastor Melissa, I could ask Pastor Joy, I could ask Pastor Acero, you know. Man, you don't have to be a pastor, but a few of us, we're going to just come out the front and we're just going to pray for any who would like to receive. If you want to receive the gift of tongues, just ask the Lord. Now, what I do not want to have happen, and I do not feel this is of God at all, is if you ask and nothing happens, for you to have a sense of, oh. Because I've been there. Hey, I've been there. I've felt that sense of rejection. God is the giver of good gifts. He will not withhold. He will not withhold His gifts from His children. So, ask. Eagerly desire. Okay, we pray. Now, I've got faith to believe. You ask, He'll give. That's my faith, right? But whatever happens, you need to know you're anointed. You've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not, there's not two classes of Christians, you know? Those with this one gift of tongues and all the rest who don't. And sort of somehow it's sort of like, no. God is the gift. He gives spiritual gifts. And this one gift, it's important for the reasons that I've outlined. It's a great gift to have, but let's not overamp it. Let's not over stress on it. Let's just ask God. Ask God. And I've been seeing many of you over this week. We've had multiple altar calls, multiple times when we've been praying for people, and you've just been asking of God. Well, let's ask of God. Amen? We just want to ask of God. Yeah, you've got the cue, Bethany. We just ask of God, all right? You cool? All right? So my prayer tonight is that you would eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And they're many and they're varied. But there would be an eagerness in you. If there's not an eagerness, don't ask. To be blunt, just don't ask. You know, but if there's an eagerness, well, let's ask. But what I want to do is just create an opportunity for you to, any of you who wish to, it's not a have to, it's a want to, but any of you who wish to, that would just be encouraged by us on this final moments of our Holy Spirit conference as we, it's not bringing the Holy Spirit to a close because we love the Holy Spirit, but bringing this conference to a close. If you're seeking the God for refreshment, for renewal, for whatever, like I'll pray for, and our team will pray for the gift of tongues, but we'll pray however you are perceiving you need prayer. I don't want any to be able to have the sense of walking away tonight and it's sort of like, oh, that was a letdown. Because God's not a letdown. He is greater. He is greater. And all he asks of me is to trust him, believe in his Son, and be led by his Spirit. Amen. So we're going to worship.